ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
For years, there have been government incentives to encourage households to get solar. And once they have it, well, life's pretty good as their power bills shrink. But with up to 30,000 homes signing up every month, the generosity seems to be drying up. Today, energy reporter Dan Mercer on whether rooftop solar is still worth it. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Dan, as we speak, millions of Australians are enjoying free electricity from the sun. So they're running their washing machines, their air conditioning, computers, whatever it might be, and they won't be billed for the energy they're using. And that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, it really does, Sam. I mean, I reckon if you were to travel back in time a few decades and tell the average punter they'd be able to generate much of their own electricity needs, essentially at no cost, their mind would probably boggle. Mm-hmm. And certainly Australia's love affair with solar and the pace of uptake among households has been really nothing short of remarkable. About one in three homes now has a rooftop solar system.
So we're in love with solar, which is hardly surprising given the amount of sun we get here in Australia. But when did it really start taking off, Dan?
It's funny. If you go back to the start of the 21st century, for example, there were 15 installations in the whole country.
It's an Australian first, a house that consumes and produces electricity. The solar-powered home is a shining example of how alternative energy sources can help to clean up Australia's power industry.
Even 15 years ago, there weren't that many, in the order of about 50,000 or 60,000. If you fast forward to the present day, there are upwards of 3.5 million solar installations in Australia.
Wow.
And by far, the majority of those are on residential rooftops in, you know, suburbs and towns around Australia. And what's more, the combined capacity of all that solar is about 35 gigawatts. And for context, that's 1.5 times more capacity than all the coal-fired capacity in the national electricity market, which services the eastern seaboard. And a big part of the equation in Australia is this shift to bigger and bigger systems. Whereas a typical system in 2010 was about 2 kilowatts, it's now approaching 10 kilowatts. And that's more than sufficient to power most homes when the panels are producing.
Wow. Okay, that's a big system. All right, so the great thing about all of this is, of course, if you have solar panels on your roof and the sun is out, you're just relying on the sun to run everything in your home. And you're avoiding, of course, a big electricity bill, which lots of people are still getting at the moment. But not only that, Dan, any excess that you create goes back into the electricity grid, doesn't it? And I just want you to explain how that works.
Yeah, that's certainly right, Sam. Historically, people have been paid for that excess. There's what's known as a feed-in tariff. And a feed-in tariff, you know, it's a very wonkish sort of term, but it's, you know, just referring to a payment to a householder for exporting their surplus solar back to the grid. A bunch of these tariffs were rolled out by state governments about 15 years ago, and it was really aimed at kick-starting a rooftop solar industry in Australia.
Australian households are only slowly warming to the idea of solar energy, but under a new incentive plan, rooftop panels could soon be popping up all over the state.
At that time, the technology was kind of at the margins. It was extremely expensive, and given that, government set what they thought had to be, you know, very generous rates. In New South Wales, the government, I remember at one stage, it offered an extraordinary, like 60 cents a kilowatt hour for excess solar production, and that was calculated on a gross, not a net basis. So that was, you know, how much your solar panels produced, regardless of how much you actually used in the home yourself. So people were just kind of printing money.
And so, simply put, you could be getting hundreds of dollars back from your electricity provider instead of actually paying any money to them, which is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah. I mean, people were making money.
How great is that? But there's a catch, isn't there, sort of, because things are changing now. There's so much rooftop solar being produced during the day that power companies and governments really don't feel like they need to keep paying up or giving such generous incentives, I suppose, to get solar.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, what we're really seeing at the moment is a gradual unwinding of those subsidies and incentives. You know, the reality is that those subsidies have done their job now. There's so much solar in the system during the middle of the day that there's an oversupply and prices often go into negative territory. At a federal level, you know, the upfront subsidy that people get on the cost of their solar panels is gradually tailing away. Mm-hmm. It's due to expire this decade. And at a state level, the feed-in tariffs people get for their solar exports are obviously falling too. Last week is a case in point, Sam. Victoria's Essential Services Commission cut the base rate retailers have to pay customers for their solar exports to 3.3 cents a kilowatt hour, a 32% reduction. Wow. And, you know, keep in mind, New South Wales was once offering 60 cents a kilowatt hour in gross terms. Mm. And Victoria is by no means alone here. You know, Victoria's case, what it's really trying to do is tell households to either use more of their own solar generation or figure out ways of providing it later in the day when it's, you know, in much greater need.
All right, so Dan, governments are winding back subsidies and you say they want to encourage households that have solar already to use more of it later in the day, so when the sun goes down. So that then takes us to the question of batteries. I did have a bit of a search and they can be up at around $20,000, so they're not cheap, but it's pretty lucrative in the end if you have one, I suppose.
Yeah, if you know how to use them and you can afford them, I think combining panels, solar panels with a battery can definitely pay off. I spoke to a Sunshine Coast resident, Mark Purcell. He used a battery to soak up solar power during the day and then he sold that power to the grid once the sun went down.
Could sort of reserve a quarter of my battery for my household use and run the heating or run the cooling, and then I could export the other half of my battery for these really high prices, and sort of each night I'd sort of cover a whole month's worth of my electricity bill.
And he's basically become an energy trader, so he plays the market during the day. In his case, it's proved to be pretty lucrative.
You do need to have strategies to navigate your way through both those. But if you can do that, then the savings and the benefits are quite immense.
He reckons his savings on energy bills were as much as $10,000 last year. But it's an indication of what people can do if they do, you know, if they go down that path of using solar and batteries.
Yeah, and how good would it be not to get an electricity bill in the post? Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the dream for a lot of people, Sam, for sure.
All right. Well, not everyone, of course, can afford a battery. And given the relatively high upfront cost of getting the solar panels, and now that governments are winding back subsidies, is it really worth getting solar panels anymore?
I mean, it depends on your circumstances, as is always the case. But the evidence would probably tend to point to solar still stacking up for a lot of people. Certainly the number of new installations seems to be trucking along at a fairly rapid rate. I had a look at some figures from the Australian Photovoltaic Institute, and it said installations were running at about 20,000 to 30,000 a month last year, similar to recent years. And, you know, as mentioned, people are getting bigger and bigger systems. It just reflects the fact that solar panels are now so cheap and electricity prices are really so high that the technology is becoming affordable anyway for many people, regardless of feed-in tariffs.
So, Dan, given that we have so much rooftop solar already, do we have enough? Do we really need any more households to jump onto this?
Depends who you ask, but what's not in question is that Australia is going to need a lot more generation capacity in the coming decades, Sam. And that's because the economy is moving away from fossil fuels and towards electrification, and it's growing anyway. And equally, solar is for sure going to be a huge part of that equation. It's just so much cheaper than other forms of generation now that it has to be on an economic basis. Green energy markets, again, for one, they reckon that the amount of rooftop solar will more than triple by 2054 to what they put staggering levels, and it's probably not an unfair characterisation. The catch is that we've really just got to get so much smarter and better at integrating all that solar. Right now, it's not being harnessed nearly as well as it could be, and that's the biggest risk and the biggest opportunity that solar presents.
So we all dream of having solar and a battery as well. So what does this rooftop solar revolution that we're going through mean for our future bills? I guess they're going to be pretty small, which would be fantastic.
You could probably call it a consumer revolution. I don't think I'm over-egging the pudding in saying that. For the first time, really, electricity users have gone from being passive takers of a service to active players in the market and masters of their own destiny to a certain extent. And that's only going to become more pronounced as ever more households get solar and you throw batteries into the mix. Now, having said all that, there'll always be those people who can't afford to get green tech. And there'll always be a need for the grid, which is the basis for our economy as we know it. So we need to make sure we look after those people who can't get the green tech and that we can continue to pay for that grid that we use and take for granted and rely on so much. But, you know, in much the same way that products like the smartphone have become ubiquitous, I think the same will be true for solar and maybe even batteries in time too.
Dan Mercer is the ABC's energy reporter based in Western Australia. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald and Nell Whitehead. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.